The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This podcast is brought to you by no one. If you're interested in sponsoring this broadcast, email us at c4podcast@chrisklem.net. Thank you.
Everybody, we're back again at Chris Klem's Cavs Cast, rolling on once again into a new week. The All-Star break is long over. The Cavs have won three games in a row. Two of them have been utter blowouts. One of them was a great come-from-behind win. Let's get into it. First off, the first game they had against the Wizards, they won 127-89. It was just a straight end-to-end domination. The Wizards were the third seed in the East. They had dropped to fourth. After the Cavs beat them, they overtook fourth place, where they now currently reside, but I think they're going to be moving up shortly. That game was just a great team game from beginning to end, and I pretty much can't say anything more about it because I'm not a statistician. Frankly, it was last week already, so who really cares? The next game was Sunday against the New York Knicks, which was another great win. They played in Madison Square Garden, which led to about 50 articles from New York newspapers wondering how and why LeBron would or could go back to New York. And now they've convinced themselves that maybe he won't come because he loves Madison Square Garden so much or because he loves New York City so much. Maybe he'll take pity on Carmelo Anthony and win a title for him. New York sports writers actually think LeBron's going to come there because he feels bad for Carmelo never winning a title. Just get that through your mind. I just read a book by Jack McCallum, who's a great sports writer for many years at Sports Illustrated, called Dream Team. It's about 2 years old, and it recaps how the Dream Team came about, how pros got in the Olympics from the NBA, and how they went out and just dominated and came together, and as soon as it was over, they went back to hating each other. Karl Malone spent an entire summer playing basketball with Magic Johnson, and they won a gold medal together. They got along great, but when that season came back around in November, Karl Malone said he wouldn't be comfortable playing against Magic Johnson because he had AIDS. After he played the entire summer with Magic Johnson, who had HIV, not AIDS, he was afraid they would get HIV or get AIDS. That was only 23 years ago, 1992. We have gone so far in the spectrum of professional athletes and competitiveness that now New York reporters think LeBron is going to come to New York and play for the Knicks just to win Carmelo Anthony a title. They don't even care that Carmelo is not good enough to win him a title. They don't even expect the team to get better. They're just basically writing think pieces about ways LeBron could convince himself to come play for them just to help out his friend. When people say the NBA sucks now, I disagree completely. I love the NBA. I watch it more than any other professional sport. I think it's great, the best athletes on the planet. But there is something wrong with that sport and its public perception. If 23 years ago, guys didn't want to play against their friends because they thought they could get HIV and stab them in the back like that after they had spent the summer playing with them while they still had HIV, to now they're like, well, they like each other. Maybe he'll come here and win us a title. Maybe. That's why New York sports reporters suck. I probably won't get one of them on the podcast, but hey, let's be honest, they weren't coming on anyways. So that game was great. We got to see J.R. Smith light it up. He had a dunk, reversed, like, two-handed. I don't even know how to describe it, but he caught it below the waist, and he slammed it from backwards, and the entire Cavs bench just went apoplectic. It was amazing. Even the guy who says everybody, he's got bad body language, Kevin Love, he actually faked a heart attack on the bench. And it was crazy to see Timothy Mozgov, his face just drop, because I imagine he didn't know the word to say that was an awesome dunk. So instead of trying to speak Russian, he was just like, Even Brendan Haywood's lifeless body had enough energy in it to freak out over the dunk. That's how great this was. Last night they played the Pistons, and the Pistons actually got up in this game. And we're giving the Cavs a little ass kicking for a minute. They were down 14, which isn't a huge loss, but they've been pretty much rolling over everybody for the last month or so. So it looked like they might have been in trouble. They regrouped together. Kevin Love had 8 3-pointers. LeBron passed Scottie Pippen for most assists all time by a forward. They were pretty much doing anything and everything you could expect. It's just great to see that the Cavs now obviously have another gear and they can just dip into it and turn it on and end up blowing out a team like the Pistons, who aren't great, but they try really hard. And Stan Van Gundy, who's their coach, is a great coach. And they're automatically better because they got rid of Josh Smith, which also shows another great thing about the NBA. Chemistry is so huge in the NBA. In baseball, you can have a guy like Albert Bell be your best player, kind of guy who runs over trick-or-treaters in his Jeep. And that guy, he doesn't have to get along with anybody. He doesn't have to get along with reporters. He can throw baseballs in the chest of Sports Illustrated photographers and harass Hannah Storm. And frankly, it doesn't matter if his teammates like him or not, because they don't really have to have anything to do with him. All he has to do is hit, which is by himself, and then catch a ball in the outfield and throw it in. That's it. But in basketball, you can have someone like Josh Smith, who's had, like, statistically speaking, all-star caliber player, talent-wise, he's a great talent, but he's such an asshole that a team can immediately get better just by getting rid of him. That shows chemistry is important, and I think the Cavs are starting to get that chemistry. It's making my heart basically grow 2 sizes more, like I was the Grinch, because no longer do we have last year's over-dribbling contest between Deion Waiters and Kyrie Irving, which leads to a fist fight in the locker room because Deion's mad that Kyrie is playing buddy ball with Tristan Thompson, whatever the hell that means. That sounds like something a kid would say. To now, these guys don't even care what's going on. They're loving it. They're playing great. It's easy to have great chemistry when you're winning, but to see this happening over and over again and getting into it, I think it's only great for the future. Now, not only did LeBron pass Scottie Pippen for all-time assists by a forward, so that's the most in NBA history by a forward, more than Scottie Pippen, more than Larry Bird, which is very impressive considering he's 31 years old still. No, he's 30. He also overtook Allen Iverson for number 22 all-time in scoring. So the guy's moving his way up. It's only a matter of time before he takes the Jonas Ilgauskas' rebounding record over for all-time Cavs. I don't think he's going to make it to the block shots. He probably will make it to games played, though. So at least Z will still be all-time number one, and I don't think anybody's catching him on block shots unless Mozgov plays another 8 years here. And the last thing on Cavs news, they signed Kendrick Perkins. I think this is perfect. He is basically the best possible option we could have gotten to add a player to the team. As a fan, we often talk about what they need to do or what they should do, but I think it was obvious to everybody, whether they were a fan or a member of the front office, a scout, that they needed a fourth big man. Brendan Haywood has literally nothing left. I was talking to my friend over the weekend. He was telling me how horrible he was. Texted me, as soon as he texted me that, in the game against the Knicks, Brendan Haywood goes, he has the ball on the low block, he turns around and airballs a 5-footer, literally a 5-footer, and he didn't just airball it, he shot it about 10 feet over the hoop. The guy is done. Sad to say, I know they're keeping him for his contract, but he doesn't look like he can play at all. So it's a good move that they got Kendrick Perkins, because even if he can play a little bit, He'll help them out. Mozgov gets in foul trouble. The Cavs are screwed. Thompson's a great backup, but he's not big enough to really guard some big guys. And the game against the Pistons last night really proved this, because Kevin Love was playing great defense. For him, he's gotten much better. Tristan was trying his hardest. He always does. He's always going to give you solid defense. But Drummond and Greg Monroe are big, nasty guys down on the low block. And when Mozgov was out there, he pretty much was shutting Drummond down, but neither Love or Thompson was big enough to handle Drummond, who's one of the best centers up and coming any level. Once he's probably like 2 years away of giving a more consistent effort game in and game out, and kind of, I don't know, I don't watch enough Pistons games to know what I'm talking about, but he's definitely going to be one of the best players in the NBA in a few years. He's working his way up. He's got the talent. When Mozgov was in the game, he pretty much shut him down. He had four blocks against the Pistons in less than 30 minutes of playing. So we need Mozgov to make it far in the playoffs. Now I'm saying we. I'm all in on this Cavs season, guys. I don't know about you. The Cavs needed somebody that could come in and actually play big, and Kendrick Perkins was better than any trade they were going to get, any other buyout option, and it makes me really excited the Cavs went out and made that move. He wanted to come to Cleveland because of how good the Cavs are. I'm just excited. I'm happy. You can hear the joy in my voice. This is shaping up to be the best basketball season in Cleveland Cavaliers history. I don't want to jinx it, but I think it's going to happen. Maybe. We'll see just how far away they are from the top of the NBA on Thursday, because they're going to be playing Golden State at home at the Q. I'm jealous of everybody that's going to be there, because this looks like it could be the best game. Not the best. You know, it's not a wrestling match. They're not going to plan it out and know how good it's going to be. It could be horrible. But this is one of the biggest matchups of the year, and I'm super excited for it. I can't wait to watch it on TV, because I'm not going to be able to be there. But it's the Cavs versus Golden State Warriors, the Splash Brothers versus the Big Three. It's what you watch basketball for, and I'm getting giddy about it. The Golden State Warriors have the best record in the NBA. The Cavs, I'm sorry, Hawks. I think the Cavs are the best team in the East. They'll probably end up at number two on the seedings. They already took over the Wizards. The Bulls are next, and it looks like, unfortunately, the Bulls will be falling down the standings anyways, because Derrick Rose has torn his meniscus again, which really sucks. He's one of the best players in the NBA, and it's never good when a guy like that is out. He keeps having injury problems with his knee. I've had ACL surgery, and I've also had my meniscus reconstructed, and I know how painful and really how bad it sucks. And I'm not an NBA athlete, so I don't know how to get back to that level. But just getting back to my own mediocre mid-20s shape was hard enough. Just to play in CYO basketball, I never even got the limited amount of lift that I had before back. So, you know, thoughts and prayers, whatever you want to say towards Derrick Rose. It's a shame that in the prime of his career, he's missing so much time. And he probably won't be the same. I mean, look at Penny Hardaway. Hopefully he comes back and the Bulls come back full strength, because I think the Bulls versus Cavs, if the two teams stay intact, could be a huge, exciting rivalry over the next 3 or 4 years. All right, I got a lot of voicemails this week because I kind of accidentally took off an episode. First off, I got a voicemail here from Damon Common. Not Damon Kamen, Damon Common. And I will say it right. I don't care what you say. And this is a question about skills, about Kyrie and LeBron.
Hey, Chris, Damon again. So I also had a question for you, a legit Cavs question. It's an argument I keep getting into with people, and that is, who do you think has better basketball skills, okay, Kyrie or LeBron? I happen to think it's Kyrie. I think that from a basketball skills standpoint, I have seen him do things with the basketball, finishing around the rim, his handles, that I've honestly never seen before. I mean, he is so amazing with the ball that I think from a basketball skill standpoint, he has more. LeBron dominates physically and is a freak athlete. Kyrie doesn't have the size or the athleticism that LeBron has. But if LeBron was Kyrie's size, I just don't think that he would be as effective as Kyrie or could do the things that Kyrie can do. You know, but a lot of people disagree with me on that. I don't know. I would love to hear your take on it.
Okay, here's my take on that. Yes, Kyrie is more skilled than LeBron overall. He's probably, no, He is the best ball handler in the NBA. He might be the best ball handler of the last 30 years, even better than Isaiah Thomas. I know that's a comparison they always put across on TV. The guy is an amazing ball handler. This argument shouldn't even really be an argument because, first of all, not to be spoil sport and say, this couldn't happen for this reason, but I used to have this argument all the time of whether Shaq would make it in the NBA if he was only 6'10 or 6'9 or even 6'5. And it's like, no, of course not, because he's so dominant based on his size. But LeBron is probably the best athlete in the NBA. So even if he was 6'4 or 6'3 like Kyrie, he'd probably still be in the NBA because he wouldn't have played the same. He would have played differently, but he was still one of the best athletes on the planet. So I'm going to say you can never actually compare it because it doesn't work like that. But just based on the skills they have now, honestly, I think, yes, Kyrie is more skilled if they went out and did shooting, dribbling, passing, maybe not passing, Kyrie would win, but definitely shooting and dribbling. He's going to win every time. But LeBron has an innate court awareness, and obviously he's a great rebounder and passer himself. And I think that if he was Kyrie's height, he would still probably be one of the best players in the NBA. He might not play anything like Kyrie, but he could be something like a Russell Westbrook. Honestly, he seems to be, not necessarily in the way he plays, but in terms of athleticism for how tall he is, I think that would be a fair comparison. So who's better skills-wise? Kyrie. But if LeBron was that size, I think he'd end up being just as good of a player as he is now, kind of like a supersized Chris Paul. And I would love to see what that would be like. But, you know, until we find out whether or not we live inside of a computer simulation or parallel universes and we can peer inside of them, we'll never know. This is going to be the schedule going forward. There's going to be a new episode on Friday, and then you'll finally get my 1998 All-Star review this weekend. And then starting next week, every Tuesday and Thursday, the goal is to have an episode out. So keep your voicemails coming. Keep the emails coming. I appreciate the support. I appreciate you listening. Tell your friends. Stay tuned. Before we leave, I have another voicemail from Damon, but first we have one from Tim Danko, and it's about my comments that I made about Anthony Davis on the All-Star Game recap. Anthony Davis, as you know, has a unibrow and is terrifyingly large. Take it away, Tim.
Hey, Clem, what's up? Tim Danko. Just wanted to say that Bigfoot does exist. He's been hiding in plain sight in Chicago for a long time, and John Calipari found him and brought him to Kentucky. You talked about Anthony Davis, that's what he is. I'm pretty sure he is the real-life Bigfoot. You look at his unibrow, he's groomed by probably professional groomers that they pay down in New Orleans. Could you imagine if they let everything else grow on his face? He would look like Sasquatch. But he looks like the love child of that old center Calvin Booth and Rebecca Lobo. Like, that's how weird-looking this dude is. I feel like he is going to eat every reporter that he does an interview with. However, he's a great player, and because of that, great players can bring in new styles. And as a person with a unibrow and some janky teeth, not as janky as his and not as crazy a unibrow, but I'm liking that he's bringing the unibrow and the teeth into the mainstream. So I feel a little more confident about my unibrow and teeth because of Anthony Davis.
All right, thanks, Tim. Call back anytime. I really appreciate it. Before we go, one more time from Damon Kamen with his opinion on LeBron James and his hair.
Going, because I had something I wanted to talk about, and that's LeBron's hairline. And, I mean, look, we all see it. We know he sees it because he has put a lot of effort into trying to hide it. And I desperately, desperately wish that someone would have the balls to ask him about it, like a reporter or something, like the guy who said the Three Stooges comment last year to the Browns. I would love someone to just be like, so, LeBron, you know, you're getting older, and what's up with the hair? And, LeBron has such a ego that I'm sure he'd be like, well, it's just still a regular season, and, not putting in 110% right now, but when the playoff time comes, my hairline's going to fill back in. I could see him saying that. My hair's going to be in playoff form, don't worry, you know, and that's when it really matters. So, don't you worry about the hairline, all right, I'm in charge. I legitimately thought that when he had that injury
and was out for a couple of weeks. I thought he was going to come back with the Bosley treatment. I honestly did. I thought that that's really why he was taking the time off. He's like, I can just coast and go get my hair fixed and come back and say it was like a back spasm or, you know, whatever. Yeah, man, love the show. Love what's going on. And go Cavs.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. Great game coming up on Thursday, the Cavs versus Golden State Warriors. You can get at me at Chris_Clem. Listen up for the phone number or email for all my freaks out there. Holla if you hear me. I can't yell because my wife's sleeping. Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.